So you see the readings from Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
And so you have a reminder that you are a red dot in a grey world, and unfortunately they're not chocolate, as somebody asked earlier, but this is who we are. And this passage is a reminder of the title of today's talk, which is about Together How We Grow. This is the last in our series on the front lines, and our front lines are the battlegrounds that we face each day. Sometimes it feels like a battleground, doesn't it, at work or with family or friends. Other times it feels like you are that blessing. But the battleground, remember, we come here because we remind ourselves that actually our enemy is never flesh and blood. It's always Satan. And Jesus told us that Satan's the father of lies. He told us that Satan always comes to steal, to kill and destroy your families, your friends, your workplaces, your lives. That's what Satan is about. That's why our front line is a battlefield. And that's why we need each other, don't we, for that support. We need to remind each other, hey, don't forget you've got that helmet of salvation on, that breastplate of righteousness, even though Satan is trying to accuse you of stuff that isn't actually true. So our front lines are a battleground, but they're also a place that we've been blessed to be a blessing. And I think, from the nods on the heads, yes, sometimes it really does feel like a battleground. But other times it really does feel like, no, I have been blessed with this and I can pass this blessing on to others. The blessings of what we know about God's kingdom, the blessing of justice, the blessing of healing, the blessing of love and peace and grace and mercy and righteousness and forgiveness. And I do wonder, as we've gone through this series, what impact has it had on you to be reminded or to learn for the first time that wherever we go, whatever we do, and we had a good discussion on Friday night about how we can be red dots in a grey world in the supermarket. Because it's literally whatever we do, whether it is your workplace or supermarket, whatever we do, or whether it's working in a charity shop or whether it's cleaning somebody's house, it doesn't matter, doesn't it? Wherever we go and whatever we do, whoever we are, the gifts and talents that the Lord has given us uniquely, we can make all the difference in the world. Just remind the person next to you, because I'm not convinced you're convinced yet. You can make all the difference in the world. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I really feel like I need to be reminded about that. And that's the point, isn't it? That together we remind each other, you can make all the difference in the world. And the beauty it is, because, I mean, God's just as aware of our mishaps, our mistakes, our sinfulness, our quirks and everything. But he says it doesn't matter. This is who you are. This is who I've created you to be. And I am with you. And we're going to do this together to make all the difference in the world. You know the three C's, so this is how we're going to look at the passage. We're going to say, okay, what's the context of Hebrews? And then what's the actual content say? And then finally, so what? And after we've done the contribution today, there are prayers of commitment. A commitment to say, actually, I'm going to try with God and with you guys supporting each other. We're going to say, actually, we would really like with God to be able to do this on our front lines. And not forget, You know, I was talking to Andy earlier on this week, and he said, the hardest thing is churches start off the new year. Yeah, we're going to go out there, front lines. Da, 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 da. And within a month, it's like, oh, God, you know, this has happened and that's happened and that. And then the home groups aren't about front lines anymore. It's not stories that we're telling of the conversations we've had. It suddenly gets back, drawn back to the mundane. And so, you know, that's why we need to spur one another on to actually continue to be in that battleground and be a blessing there. So the context of Hebrews, it was written about AD 64 to 69, so not that long after Jesus had died and risen again and gone up to heaven. It was written to Jewish Christians, which is kind of given away in the title, Hebrews. Do you know what I mean? And we're not sure who the writer is. It's written in a sort of style of Paul. I mean, it's a bit like Isaiah. You know, Isaiah has a number of writers, but they're in the style of that prophet. But we don't know who actually wrote this. But it's important to know that the Jews were being persecuted, and this was a letter to them. And that's why we get all this information throughout the whole letter of Hebrews about the things that we're going to study next week, the Levitical sacrifices. They're going back to the Torah. They're going back to the Old Testament and saying, look, that's what it was like in the New Old Testament. And this is what it's like now because of what Jesus has done for us. The letter does encourage the readers that while the old system to come into God's holy presence was designed by God, it was just a foretaste of something far superior that can be found in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you how blessed I am to be in this era, not in the Old Testament era. Exactly. So the content, in the past, the only way to connect with God was through these daily and yearly sacrifices that they had to make, grains and animals. And only, and this is what, you know, that's why maybe high priest would be better, but only the high priest could go into the very holy of holies of the tabernacle of the temple. Only the high priest could encounter the glory of God. But Jesus, I love this, but Jesus's sacrifice, the Son of God, was a once and for all. No more us making sacrifices. Actually, we are actually meant to make a sacrifice. Can you remember what sacrifice we're meant to make? Prayers? Praise? Yeah, we make a sacrifice of praise. Excellent. The funny thing is we're living sacrifices, isn't it? So, I mean, I'm not feeling like a bull or a ram or something like that. And I'm not encouraging you to go around saying, hey, or bar or whatever. But what I'm saying is we are living sacrifices. We bring a sacrifice of praise. So there is sacrifices, which we're going to look at when we study the book of Leviticus. But he is the once and for all sacrifice for sin. It's done. No more sacrifices needed to receive the forgiveness of God. And I think most importantly, no more sacrifices needed to encounter the very holy presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. And we enter into the very holy presence of God by receiving what Jesus has done for us, by receiving forgiveness that makes us holy, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Jesus is able to stand with God and present us to God in the kingdom of heaven. There is such an invite, isn't there? There's an invite almost every day. Jesus saying, come on, come in. Encounter my Father. Encounter God's presence. Encounter the Holy Spirit. Because then what you carry out in the day is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what he's offering us every day. And this is what this content is about. It's saying, remember all of this, knowing that we can together hold on to hope, knowing that we can together spur one another on to love and good deeds as we keep meeting together. So it's a good 3-point sermon of the content. Hold on to hope, spur one another on, keep meeting together. And as we read in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. That's the point, or one of the points, isn't it, of coming on Sunday, saying we choose to take an hour, or probably in your church, 2 hours out of your time, to sit and to say, I choose to draw near to God in this way on my Sabbath, on my Sunday. And I know without a shadow of doubt, he will draw near to me. Because I don't know about you, there's so many things that tempt us away from God's presence, tempt us away from living in peace, tempt us away from being on that battlefield and being a blessing to others. James 4, 7 to 8 says, submit yourselves. In other words, I need you, God. Resist the devil. I love this one. Hey, I'm just resisting you, devil. And he asked to flee. Isn't that incredible? He's more frightened of who's in us than we realize. You know what I mean? It's just like, say, you know, we can't be Satan. Nope, you have no right here. Off you go. And he has to flee. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You, as you go out in your daily lives and as you listen to other people, though, we're in a culture that does not encourage us to work together. You know, it really is quite dog-eat-dog out there. And the idea of our culture is individualism. Nowadays, people define their own truth, their own gender, what is right for me, what is wrong for me. People define it for themselves and for selfish reasons, not for the common good. It's not about us, it's about me. In 2020 alone, there were 45,300 self-help books published. just 1 year, 43,000 books published. And in the same year, or on average, 18 million books worldwide are sold on self-help. All about improving ourselves, so that we can get promoted, or we can get slimmer, or we can get this, or we can get that. Not for our community. It's about us. That's just the culture we live in. And so we actually need to come together to remind ourselves, actually, it's not about me. It's about us. Working together for the common good. And I don't know about you, but there was this deconstruction, maybe you've heard it going on, but a lot of Christians have deconstructed their faith and stopped going to church. Others just don't believe that it's necessary to join together and meet together and pray together and worship together and spur one another on. But look at what God's word says, because we are the body of Christ, and it would be a very strange body if we weren't connected with Christ as the head and in his spirit. God's word says we are to remind each other of the hope that we have, to spur one another on, to meet together. I mean, if you think about it, all the things about we have the mind of Christ, I don't, we do. That's why as a Baptist church, we meet together and say, as people together, what are we thinking that God is calling us to this coming year? We are a family. We have, yes, our biological families, but we also have our church family. We are the body of Christ, connected and working together, so that we together are his hands and feet and heart in the community, not alone, together. Some of you came to the churches together, unity service on Sunday, and it was all about being the body of Christ. We had a puzzle that different people had to come up and put pieces on, with Christ as the head, and people coming up saying, as a physical representation, that we are the body of Christ in this, in the villages around us. And I loved it, because Father Paul really went out of his comfort zone. He got us all to hold hands and say prayers together. And he's like, as much as I don't like doing this, I want us to hold hands. Just that reminder that we are connected. And it was just so many. And then Karen Kelland actually gave us a really good challenge at the end. She said, would people in our village know that the three churches in this village, and maybe the churches in other villages too, that we are connected, that we function as one body and have one head. Would the village know? Would they know that we are his hands and feet and heart? And I was thinking, I don't know. And I thought that was a really good challenge for us to actually think about, maybe think about in our home groups. How could we do this in such a way that people are like, oh, yeah, they're from that church, but they're one body. Oh, yeah, she lives in that village, but she's still one body working with others, Christians in that village. I met Diana last night at Tesco's. Do you remember? And she said that they met for the first time all the Christians who worship outside Midhurst. So Diana used to be here. And she said it was so refreshing to have 20 people who've chosen a church outside Midhurst, but they care for Midhurst. And then they went prayer walking together. And I was like, what a brilliant idea. She said it was just so fabulous. And that demonstrates that we are one body in this village, wherever you are, yeah, with Christ as the head. And when we meet together, we can remind each other, can't we, of the sure and certain faith that we have. So let's spur one another on to love and good deeds. Spur, I mean, I always think of a horse when they're a bit sharp, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? And off you go. I've never done horse riding, so if it's anything other than that, forgive me. But the actual word in Greek, it means inciting and provoking. So we're to provoke each other to love and good deeds. And that's it's an interesting word, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's you know, you go around and I feel like it's almost like prodding or poking. Do you know what I mean? Like I need to provoke you and you need to provoke me to love and good deeds. And it's incredible when we do. It is incredible if we can support each other in our battles and encourage each other to be blessings by spurring one another on. And the writer of the Hebrews recognized that we can help one another by not allowing each other to give up, to keep the challenge before us of praying, caring, sharing, which is we're planning to do this year. And that's one of the commitments we're going to make to each other at the end. Are we going to do that? I'm not going to let you give up this year. I'm not going to let you not come to church and give up on meeting in your home group or whatever in the prayer meetings. I'm going to provoke you to join in as many of these things that is possible in your context. Yeah, that's what this is saying. And I wonder if you can think about it, and I do want to pause for a moment, just think, what are you doing to provoke others in this church or in your context? What are you doing to provoke them to love and good deeds? So I'm going to pause and just have a little think. What are you doing to provoke others to love and good deeds? And I think there's a second part to that question is, because I know that I'm already thinking of things that I do, but I'm also thinking of things that you do. but is there anything else that the Lord is calling us to at this moment in time? Is there someone else or something else that we are actually to do or say, or just even have that mindset of, actually, I really want to provoke those in my home group to love and good deeds? Actually, I really want to provoke my family more to love and good deeds. And finally, keep meeting together. Church is a place we are reminded of the core elements of our faith and equipped for our front lines. A place where we encounter God together as we welcome each other, read God's word together, worship together, and encourage and equip each other for witness. When we gather together on Sundays, when we gather together midweek, our community is forming and we are helping each other remain in our faith and remain in our calling. Meeting together is central to our spiritual disciplines. Meeting together is central to support us to be witnesses on the front lines. I can't do it alone. None of us can, and we're not designed to do that. I am incredibly impressed with the percentage of our church that are in home groups. Or meet with others or even contact each other on the phone if you can't be in a home group, just to spur one another on. So what's the contribution? LICC worry that we've spent so much time, this is what they say in their notes, say, get out there, that it's that they've not spent enough time in the last few weeks in the notes that they've given us and what we've been talking about to remind ourselves, no, we gather and scatter. And so I thought I better remind ourselves that we do gather together, which is what this last one is about, as well as scatter during the week. We are the red dots, which are trying to enable others to become pink and then to become red in our communities. And today, as we've sung, and I really felt we meant what we sang this morning, do you know what I mean? We reminded ourselves together of faith and hope that we carry in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we meet together, it does spur one another on to love and good deeds. And I pray that the conversation over coffee will do the same today. Because the point of coming to church is to receive that teaching, that challenge, that guidance, that equipping, that encouraging in love and commission, and together be able to go on to our front lines. Our midweek meetings are designed to do the same. The walks, the talks, the texts that you write, all of this is to encourage us on our front lines. And what are we encouraged to do? It's simple. It really is simple and hard at the same time. We have a great commission and a great commandment. Summarize in Matthew 22:37-40, you will find all the divine law set into three core principles. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Not just love God. Yeah, be nice. Love God with every part of your being, and love yourself and others. Yeah. If you can't love yourself well, you won't know how to love others well. But we receive understanding of how to love ourselves well when we realize how much God loves us. I was with George yesterday, and he needed that spurring and provoking on. He adores his two little girls. I mean, absolutely adores them. And he's a fabulous father. And I said to him, you know, encouraged him in that. But I said, just think how much more your heavenly Father loves you, adores you, wants to protect you, will do anything for you. And you represent to your children really well being a good father. But how about reminding them about their heavenly Father, who is a good, good father? And Matthew 28:16-20, Jesus commands his disciples to go and make them in all nations. You know, discipling a nation, that means changing the culture. It's more than just disciple one little person. It's actually change the culture that you are in. Change the nation that you are in. And it's one little thing at a time. And what are we doing? We're teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us to do, which the bottom line is love and share. The bottom line is pray, care, share. And he assures us that he will go with us right to the very end of the age. So as followers of Jesus Christ, the challenge today is, will you embrace your front line? And as I said, there's four slides of commitments which talk about each aspect that we have talked about in our home groups and talked about on our Sundays. The first one obviously is talking about, will I commit that wherever I go? And the second one, whatever I do, whoever I am, will I together go out and work on my front line? And I know I can't pray this prayer without you guys supporting me. And so your response is, with the help of God, we will, because it really is a case of, isn't it, we can't do this without God. So let's, if you're willing, and if you're not, don't worry, don't say it, but I think you are, because I'm getting a lot of nods here. Just as followers of Christ, can we make this recommitment today? Let's pray. As followers of Jesus Christ, will you embrace your front lines as places of possibility and potential in the purposes of God? Will you believe that God is already at work in these places? And will you give yourself unreservedly to his purposes in you and through you wherever you are. With the help of God, we will. Will you trust God with the big things and the little things that you do day in, day out? Will you seek to make all that you do on your front lines a part of your worship of Him? Will you learn to rely on Him, His power, His love, and His grace, whatever you do? With the help of God, we will. And as sons and daughters of your Heavenly Father, will you believe that your value, your worth, your significance, and your life on the front line flow first from this identity? Will you embrace the joy and the freedom of being a child of God, whoever you are? With the help of God, we will. As the body of Christ, will you commit to encouraging and helping one another to flourish in Christ and to be fruitful on your front lines? Will you learn to be the people of God, gathered and scattered, helping one another to make all the difference in the world? With the help of God, we will. Amen.